They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field Show, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. Happy Monday, fellas.
Woo.
Great to
What's up, Rob?
It was a busy week. You know how I started my Monday off? At the dentist office.
Oh, no.
You know what? I used to hate going to the dentist when I was a kid. I have such a fantastic dentist. I have no problems going there anymore.
Give a plug, Rob.
We won't give the plug, but you know, I go there. I had to like refresh. There was a cavity from like 10 years ago, and I had to like, you want the Novocaine? Like, no. I never want.
Look at him bowing up on radio right now. Never want to get the Novocaine.
But yeah. it was a busy week for all of us, right? Doug, you were in Tampa.
I was in Tampa.
You were in Tampa. My second home. I love it.
It was hot in Tampa, man.
Of course it was. You know,
I was inside all day, but it didn't really make a difference.
Yeah, right? doing a little conference action.
Yeah.
And Pastor Kyle was in Carolina last week for a little Eagles Panthers game.
Come on.
And I had a TV crew invade my house filming Remy for a new reality show, but it wasn't like I was away. I was just home. You guys were on the road. You guys are back, and it's great to be back. But our man, our guy, Pastor Kyle, was helping make headlines because before the Eagles beat the Panthers, 28-23 in front of what was a national television audience, primetime lights, Thursday night football.
I was in the restaurant in Tampa watching it.
Yeah. Can I just tell you, shout out to the Eagles fans, tons of them down there.
They travel well.
Yeah, my whole section was Birds fans. It was crazy.
Well, the night before the game, Pastor Kyle baptizes wide receiver Marcus Johnson in the team's hotel pool, and players gathered around to support it. And it, you know what? We talk about how great of a win it was for the Eagles, who are now 5-1. On top of the NFC East, on top of the NFC,
top
of the NFL, tied with the Chiefs in the AFC, and the Chiefs beat them. So maybe you get a Doug Peterson, Andy Reid rematch
in
Minnesota in the Super Bowl.
That'd be all right. That'd be all right.
But really, their biggest victory of the week last week was Marcus Johnson getting baptized, and it was so cool, guys, to see so many various news outlets pick up on this story after Marcus tweets about it. And we're going to talk to Marcus Johnson later on tonight about getting baptized. But I think that was one of the things that you guys looked at and were like amazed by how much attention that it received.
You know, it came out on CBS Sports. Got an update on my phone, so I
that's how you first saw it?
I saw it, so I
me too.
I took the link and I tugged you guys on it away on Facebook. And at any post that we've had, and even with Goliathon, our obstacle course event that's coming up this Saturday, I will plug that, right? That's important. But
plug it.
I had over 100 shares.
Wow.
Over 100 shares, over 300 some likes.
And we talk about it. And that was from your personal, and then from Faith on the Field.
And then we shared
it was like
on the Field. Yeah, it was huge. I was just blown away. And people were just commenting on it. But that many shares, I mean, I was just blown away.
ABC News picked it up this morning. Yeah. Fox, there were so many of the news agencies. And I'm just so proud of the faith that Marcus showed in being willing to tweet that out. You know, it was a very powerful moment, and I know we're going to get a chance to talk to him about it in just a few minutes. And but I love the fact that these guys are not ashamed to put it out there. Their lives they're just putting it out there. I love it, and I love it too, Rob. We were talking just a little bit ago about that. It's rewriting some of the narrative of the NFL right now in light of all the other stories that are out there in the NFL.
Yeah, it is.
That's a great point.
And the Eagles, just the whole team, what they're doing. We love the run that they're on, but even more than that, and every time they talk about the run they're on, they talk about the character of these guys, the faith of these guys, the unity of this team,
the brotherhood.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's rewriting some of the narrative. And I think it's a narrative that our young people need to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's different. It's different to see these guys stepping out in their faith like that. And guys have done that for years. And obviously, there's so many different athletes, from Kurt Warner going back to Ray Lewis was very adamant about his faith. And just to see the Eagles doing it right now and seeing so many people picking up on it, because I was, and Tim Tebow, obviously, I've been in the media for 20 years now, and I was there when the guys would walk away from a receiver or a player or whoever it is who starts to say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Orleans Darkwa dropped that yesterday at the end of his interview after the Giants beat the Broncos on Sunday Night Football, and he talks about that, and he drops it at the end. I was like, hey, we'll get him next time too. But it's really cool to see different media outlets now embracing it and talking about it and putting it out there. So tonight what we're going to do, though, is we're going to talk about baptism, and our title is going to be Take a Dip. Take a Dip, okay? Because a lot of people, including many Christians, may not understand the importance of water baptism as an adult. And guys, I'll tell you this. I was among those who didn't get it for so many years. I didn't get it. I grew up Catholic, so I was baptized as a baby. And that's all I knew, and I was raised with the philosophy thinking that, well, hey, God forbid your baby passes away and he hasn't been baptized, he's not going to go to heaven. So even after I realized, you hear those helicopters flying by over here?
It's like they're dropping in right now.
So even after I realized, guys, that Christianity was really about a relationship with Christ, not a religion, and not about the rituals, and not about the traditions. And even after I understood the truth that we're saved by grace, not by works, I waited 6 years to get baptized, and I finally did it last October at Gloucester County Community Church with Remy, who was really urging me. She wanted to do it, and we did it right there in the pool at the service in front of everybody, and it was an awesome experience. And I did it because, and I had a lot of questions from people who were like, well, you already been baptized. Why'd you do that? So I did it because I didn't make that decision as a child. My parents made that choice for me. Yeah. So I felt it was important for me as an adult when I understood the meaning behind it, to be baptized as a public profession of my faith. And the Bible teaches us commitment to Christ always precedes baptism. Mm. So I think infant baptism misses that point. And baptism is really our testimony of surrendering our life to Christ. So that's what the importance is about that adult baptism. And that's why I feel like I want to explain it to so many out there who may not get that point, who may not understand that.
Yes, definitely. It's a very powerful moment. You know, we always say that there's nothing magical in the water, but there is something very mystical about it. There's something very transforming about that moment. You know, Jesus is baptized. The disciples are baptized. It's foundational in the early church. It's definitely an outward sign of an inward act, just like circumcision was for the early Jewish community. But it's more than that when you get into it. It really is that decision to let the world know that you have been included in Christ, and that when you come up out of that water, we talk always about you're buried in Christ. When you go under the water, it's burial into Christ. That's the symbol. And then when you come up out of the water, all the dirt's off, right? I mean, you're just clean, and it's the symbol of a resurrected life. What would happen? How different would our lives be, guys, if we literally, like Lazarus, were dead, and we got raised alive? How different would we act? How much more faith would we have? How little would fear have hold on us?
Right.
And that's what that kind of symbolism is to be able to say, from this point forward, I'm going to live that kind of resurrected life where I'm just going for it. It's brand new.
You know, we've talked about this on other shows before. Just because you get baptized doesn't mean everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, no, that's right.
You know, so you talk about a new life, but a different perspective of making that public proclamation that I'm a believer.
Yes.
And you're doing that. But again, I think we always have to go back to, because we don't want everybody to be misunderstanding. You know, Marcus Johnson isn't doing this to be a better football player.
Absolutely.
He's
right.
Not doing this to get more success.
That's right.
Right.
You know, and I think that some people will say, oh, these guys are Christians, and maybe that's why they're winning.
Yeah, that's
right?
Not it.
And maybe God's blessing. But it's not that, because you know what? They could be they're going to be the same guy. And you're with these guys all the time. I mean, you're in the pool with Marcus, right?
Yeah.
So it's a matter of they're doing this because it's what they want to do to serve their Savior, not for earthly praise or success or anything else.
Absolutely. It's interesting, Doug, what you just said, because when Jesus gets baptized in Matthew 3, the very next thing that the Bible says is that the Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy.
Yeah.
So for 40 days, he's there fasting.
That's what it's
40
about.
Days
That's
he's in lack, right? So it is this, though, outward sign where we're saying, you know what, we know the battle's coming. But I'm not going to have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. I'm going all in. And that's what happened kind of when you jump in the pool, you go all in. And I think that's what the guys are saying. They're just going all in.
I think we need to make it clear to everyone that salvation comes through grace. And we say this all the time, not through works. And those works include baptism, that baptism is not a requirement for salvation. Despite what some of the denominations teach, baptism is not going to wash away sin. The blood of Jesus washes away your sin. And if you look at one of the passages in John chapter 3, where Jesus says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So those are Jesus' words. Yeah. And I tend to believe a guy who was nailed to a cross and rose again 3 days later. But and he's talking about spiritual cleansing.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. And baptism is the symbol for what takes place when a person is born again. But I don't want to minimize the importance of baptism, but I want to make it clear that it's not saving us. What saves us is the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit.
It's really, really good. You know, Rob, the truth is part of that symbolism goes all the way back to the children of God in the wilderness and a thing called the laver. And it was a big basin that held water. It's kind of where some of the denominations get holy water from. But in order to go into the holy place, a place of worship, the priests had to first go to the altar and get blood, because blood cleanses you. And then go to the laver and have all that washed off so that there was a cleansing before we could go into worship. And I think that's a beautiful picture of both of those two things working in tandem. It's nothing can forgive you except for the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And yet there's still in our lives in order to really cleanse some of our conscience, some of our, even our, the way that we think about ourselves, see ourselves, come on. Because even after you get saved, you're still connected to the brokenness of your past.
Right.
There's something very powerful about going under that water, coming back out again, that frees you to worship at a deeper level.
Kyle, talk a little bit about just the public stand that you're making also. So sometimes you can say a prayer. You can be at a congregation. You could raise your hand if the pastor's given an invitation, preacher's given an invitation. But when you're making a public display saying, I am a believer and I want everybody to know that I love Christ and I'm doing this as a public display, such as Christ did when he got baptized, talk a little bit about that and the significance of just making that public display to say that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, around the world, you know, people every Sunday make declarations of faith for Jesus.
Sure.
But even historically, the church has always said, okay, but the next step in that, the next step of obedience, the next step of just walking this thing out is making that public declaration. I have the privilege of traveling all over the world, and you guys know that we do a foundation for the persecuted church in the Middle East, and so many of the countries around the world don't consider anyone a Christian until they're actually baptized. and I'm not saying that is correct in the sense theologically. No, if you confess Jesus as Lord, I'm with you, Rob. But there's such a power that comes. No, they know you're really not serious. If you can't stand up before man and say, hey, I just want to let you know I'm all in with Jesus, then even the world is saying, I'm not sure that's really real. So it's an interesting moment.
You know, that's kind of like baptism. It becomes like a wedding ring.
Yes.
In a way that you stand before a huge audience most of the time, unless you're doing it somewhere in a chapel, small little gathering, and you say, I do, to your wife, and you put on a wedding ring, and it symbolizes your public commitment to your spouse. But our baptism is supposed to remind us and everyone else who sees and knows that we've been baptized that we're devoted to Christ. So it's really a visual testimony of that commitment. And I think, you know how I always tell my story, and when I share my testimony and I break it down into fan, follower, disciple, I think that baptism is a step toward discipleship. in a way.
I think it's a step of discipleship. I think without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, you know, discipleship starts when you accept Jesus. Where you go from that are steps of discipleship. Reading the word, praying, you know, being a part of a local body, being willing to have accountability in your life, someone's being under authority, someone speaking into your life, bringing correction and inspiration. Those all are steps of discipleship. And I, you know, there are things like baptism, like communion, like corporate worship, like prayer. Those things, are just outward signs of a continual walk. So, you know, Romans 6:4 says when we're baptized, we step into a new life. And that's what you've been talking about tonight, Rob. You're talking about it's a brand new life. So salvation, you know, we say it all the time at Connect. So, Christianity is not a decision to be saved. It's a decision to be a disciple of the Savior. As a disciple of the Savior, it starts with salvation. But, you know, Christianity is not just like, I don't want to go to hell. No, it's I want to love God with everything I've got. I'm all in with everything first. And then whatever that looks like, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I'm in because I'm in love with Him.
Unfortunately, too many people have the view of, well, I don't want to go to hell. So I want to be a Christian because I don't want to go to hell. And that is, you know, being a Christian should really be all encompassing, wanting to be like Christ. You mentioned a term, and Marcus Johnson tweeted this with the picture that pretty much went viral when he said, first time being baptized, corporate worship is a beautiful thing, cleansed and reborn in Jesus' name. Explain corporate worship, because I don't know too many people are going to understand what that term means.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of times, especially in our generation, it's kind of like, I'm good. I love Jesus, but I don't need church. I don't need others. But the Bible's actually clear, you know, two are better than one because there's a greater return for their work. A three-strand cord is not quickly broken. And there's power when God's people get together where two or three are gathered. That's where Jesus is in the midst of them. And I think these guys understand, and they're starting to understand, that they already understand the power of team. So a team only goes as far, not as their talent, but as their unity. So we've seen a lot of talented teams, right, historically, football, yep, baseball, basketball, who don't go very far because they actually don't know how to play together. There's not a corporate expression. But these guys are learning that corporate expression, both in the house, on the field, and off the field, is powerful.
You were there. So tell us a little bit about that, because you see the picture. Yeah. You see everybody lined up around the pool.
Yeah, Wiz is actually praying at that moment.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So, let's go around.
I don't know if we want to do all that either.
But I will just say, you know,
Here's my question with that, though, because I want.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about regarding this. And it was so cool because it did go viral. What an awesome thing to be in a hotel pool, have a picture snapped, and next thing you know, God's turning that into a mission.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not what it was intended for.
Correct.
That's not the desire of those guys is, hey, you know, can we tweet this out? Can we do that and manipulate that? But tell us a little bit about what the attitude is after he goes in.
Oh, man.
And you get up and it's the brotherhood of almost as if you scored a touchdown, I would assume.
They are
right?
Legitimately, to a man around that pool, they are legitimately, first of all, they don't need to be there. This is 10 o'clock at night. This is the night before the game. They've gone through meetings. They've traveled. They've gone through walkthrough. They've done everything that they've had to do.
They flew out
that day. This is a long day. Exactly right. So they don't have to be there. No coach is making them be there. There's not a team rule that says they have to be there. They're there because they love Marcus. They love each other. And the moment he comes out of the water, there's just a sense of such celebration. And it's the same authentic celebration that you guys see when they score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the thing
that's
so...
The whole team surrounds everybody.
I think that's the thing that's so endearing about these guys is that, like, when you see Carson legitimately have excitement, like, and Trey and Zach, when they're legitimately excited for each other. They're not jealous of one another. They're zealous for one another. And that's the difference. That's what's making these guys be winners on the field and off the field. They will do whatever they need to do for someone else's success. And that's a powerful thing.
I heard Brandon Graham talking about this, and he's like, you know, nobody's on the team is about themselves.
No,
and they said, right. You know, he said, how do you stay up? How do the coaches get you up? And he goes, the coaches can do do the work and remind us. He goes, but what it comes down to is when your teammate, when your brother says to you, hey, forget about that one. We got the next one. And yeah. you know that they have your back and you have their back. It just keeps going throughout the entire team. And it just gets exciting. And you can see it on the field. When they play,
oh,
they're
yeah,
literally
absolutely.
Excited for one another. And it's contagious.
Agreed.
You could see in that game the complete opposite, too. I'm not sure what quarter it was, but when Cam Newton ran in for a touchdown.
He talked about that too.
Yeah, and he pushed everybody
away.
They
came over to celebrate with Cam, and he's like, no.
No, no.
Back up off me.
But he called the camera over.
He walked over to the camera, and he made sure he did his Superman, right? That's what Cam did. And at one point, I believe it was that game where I forget who scored, and they hand the ball to Jason Kelce. The center.
Was it Aguilar?
Yep.
And they hand the ball to Jason Kelce so he can spike it, like give it the Gronk spike. Yep. So here's appreciation for the guys who do the dirty work, for the guys who do the grunt work, for the center, the guy who gets no accolades, and you're giving him the ball to be like, hey, man, we would not have scored if it wasn't for you. You spiked the ball. And on a complete opposite side, you got a guy like Cam who's saying, yeah, I scored. Let me make it about me now. Back up off me. I want to do my little Superman
pose. It's really
pose.
Funny you said that, Rob, because I was sitting there, and we were sitting, we had tons of Eagles fans, but directly around us, they were all Panthers fans. And Panthers fans were talking about what you just said. We're about the difference between kind of the selfishness that is there on the Panthers team compared to, hey, look at these guys celebrating together. Look at them, how they're picking each other up. It was interesting just in small little conversations that were going on around us from Panthers fans about what you just said.
First of all, I love the fact that we are in Philadelphia. We're based in Philadelphia, but anybody can listen to our podcast all throughout the country. So you could send this to anybody, right?
You could be listening right now in Carolina.
That's right.
Facebook Live, wherever else. But here's the thing that you were just talking about is that the Eagles, although they're a hometown team, it's a national story at this point.
Absolutely. Right?
Yeah. I mean, they're on national TV. But when you talk about that touchdown, you take Nelson Aguilar, but you go back a year ago, and he was taking time off from games because he couldn't figure this out. But then you put him in this environment where these guys are so embracing of him and accepting of him that how can you not succeed?
Absolutely.
You know, how do you get out of your own head? Individually, it would probably be really difficult for him to do
that. Well, I was watching
but they're having fun.
I was watching a sports show this morning, and they were talking about, you know, Martavius Bryant of the Steelers wanting to be traded because he's not getting enough.
And
I know,
that's the story, right? How about
After this huge win about not getting enough targets. And I know that that's just a common view on teams. And it's so refreshing to see that these guys aren't about the targets. Now I know that they all, you know,
they care.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody cares, but they are much more.
Yeah, you got incentives. You got
absolutely right.
You know,
but you know, you look at Torrey Smith the other day, the other game. He hasn't been catching the ball too well. He's like, I'm gonna try and work through this. He scores a touchdown. Everybody's around him.
And he does that great celebration with the baseball.
But it's cool. You wrote an article.
Yeah.
When the Eagles beat the Giants on Odell Beckham.
Yeah, well, what Odell Beckham did
and what he did
completely all about him.
Yeah,
and inappropriate.
Exactly.
And inappropriate.
Yeah. So, but let's stress this point too, though. That the fact that the Eagles have this brotherhood, the fact that they are so close like this.
Yeah.
And Doug, you can mention that comment you got on the post about the winning.
Yeah, so somebody, a bunch of comments that were on the Facebook page, but basically they turned around and said, if you want to know why the Eagles are winning, this is it.
Yeah, and this is great for team chemistry.
Sure.
It's incredible to have camaraderie.
It's awesome to have character guys and brotherhood.
But I think you lose a lot of Christians when Christians start to say, this team's winning because God's on their side because they're baptizing guys in the pool. That's not what's happening here. You know, they're winning because they're putting in the work. They got the talent. They got the skill. They got excellent coaching. They're doing everything that it takes on that field. It certainly doesn't hurt that they have this incredible bond, this brotherhood, but Aaron Rodgers is on the cover of my book, Football Faith.
Yeah.
He is a Christian. That didn't prevent him from breaking his collarbone yesterday and going down for the season. That's not, you know, being a Christian and being so close to Christ and being in this walk doesn't mean that you're not going to go out there and tear an ACL.
Absolutely.
It just means, and we've said this many times before, if that does happen, you should be equipped to be able to walk through that trouble.
I think what you see in this, though, instead of like a Tim Tebow or identifying one Christian guy on the team,
yes,
there's a huge difference to say, look at the group of teammates that are surrounding these players, right? So, I mean, I think that's a big difference. It's not one guy. It's a whole team.
So when we come back, guys, we expect to be talking to Marcus Johnson. We'll have him tell us all about this experience, why he got baptized, and what it's meant for him to be surrounded by this brotherhood, to be, as we always say, iron sharpens iron, to be around these guys. You are listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hey, this is Rob Motti. Let's talk about tomorrow for a minute. Chances are someday you're going to want to retire. And even though you'll stop working, you'll never want to stop achieving. You'll want to explore new ventures when you retire. You'll want to see and experience new things because you'll finally have the time to do it. But to get there, you'll need a financial strategy. Rick Santella at Morgan Stanley can help. Rick is a financial advisor and he has more than 35 years of experience. Rick can help you create a strategy based on how you want to live now and once you retire. Rick will work with you and your attorney toward your goals like estate planning and leaving a legacy. And the great thing is, Rick is right here in Philadelphia. To make an appointment with Rick Santella, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meet with Rick today to talk about your future, because when you stop working, your retirement income is going to have to work for you.
Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, its affiliates, and Morgan Stanley Financial Advisors do not provide tax or legal advice. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Medcor's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialists is a privately owned group located in Turnersville and Lynnwood, New Jersey. Online, they are MedcorUSA.com. Dr. Sylvie and his staff can diagnose and treat disorders of the lungs. Asthma, especially asthma caused by allergies, COPD, chronic bronchitis, pneumonia, pulmonary hypertension, shortness of breath, and chronic cough. They also treat sleep problems like restless leg syndrome and sleep apnea. Treating sleep apnea has become a huge part of their practice. They have 10 home sleep tests that test for sleep apnea. Testing is recommended if some of the following pertain to you. Someone has told you that you stop breathing while you sleep. You snore loudly and frequently. You wake up choking or gasping. You wake up with headaches, sore throat, or dry mouth. You experience insomnia, unrefreshing sleep, daytime sleepiness or fatigue, difficulty concentrating, memory loss, irritability. You are drowsy while you are driving. You are frequently waking up to use the bathroom. You have a large neck size, 17 inches for men and 16 inches for women. You have a family history of sleep apnea. Call Medcor's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialists at 856-352-6572. That's for their Turnersville office, and 609-788-8953 for their Lynnwood office.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. And we are thrilled to have on the phone Eagles wide receiver Marcus Johnson. Marcus, you had an awesome week last week. First off, you have your first career catch against the Cardinals, and then 4 days later, you were baptized. Can you tell us about that experience?
Oh, man, it's been a true blessing. And you know, when something like that happens, not talking about the catch, but being baptized, you know, it's something that you can't do alone. When you take a step like that, it's a lot of people behind the scenes that not everybody gets to see or know that helps make something like that possible. And just leading up to it, I had been talking to Pastor Kyle about it for a while, and, you know, we were trying to get it all worked out, and, you know, just God had it meant to be right before the game. And Kyle flew out because he was going to watch the game, and he was like, man, we can do it at the hotel if you want to. And I was like, you know, it doesn't matter where we have it or where we do it. I just want to, you know, I want to go ahead and take the next step and be baptized. And he was like, man, I'm so happy for you. I'm looking forward to doing it. And just since I've gotten to Philly, I've grown in my faith so much. And to be honest, 2017 has been a special year from the very start. the steps I've continued to take, the people who helped push me, especially in this locker room, family, friends, so many people who helped me grow. And I'm just so thankful that something like a baptism could be so wide-reaching. I've had so many people reach out to me from people who are believers who are just happy for me, from people who are like, you know, I'm not really a believer, but I really like the growth that you've made. And, you know, it's inspired me. And, you know, it's really a beautiful thing when something like that happens. And as a football player, you kind of think, you know, something that I do on the field or something else might inspire or motivate people. And that's how it's been for a lot of my life. But I didn't think that me being baptized would blow up the way it did. And it's just amazing how God has been using it. It's truly a blessing.
Yeah, and last year the team had four or five guys get baptized in the cold tub. So at least you had to do it in a pool. You didn't have to do it in the cold tub.
Wisdom. Wisdom, brother. Wisdom.
Smart out of here.
Hey, it doesn't matter where it's at as long as you get it done.
That's right.
Absolutely. Mark, you talked a little bit about the brotherhood on this team, and it is special. How much does it help you having so many brothers in Christ on the team as teammates and then to be surrounding that pool for that incredible moment of your life?
Man, it's everything you could ever ask for. You know, going into the NFL last year, my rookie year, you always hear people talk about the locker rooms and how dysfunctional they are and how players are selfish and they only play for money and this and that. And immediately when I got here, I had so many people who were just supportive. It really wasn't anything negative in the locker room. And from that point, I knew it was something special here. We just had to continue to build on it. And we had some young guys, a first-year coach, Peterson at the time, and you know, you've seen the growth, you know, every week all the way up until, you know, present day. From last year to now, it's been nothing but growth. It's been encouraging for each and every person. And like I always say, you know, we just hold each other accountable. We're not afraid to speak up about our faith. We're not afraid to hold each other accountable to continue to make sure that we're all staying on the right path. And it's such a blessing to have a group of guys who you can come to about anything and just be like, you know, I want to grow in this area. I feel like I need work in this area. And, you know, they all have their own wisdom from their growing up and however their life, whatever course their life has taken, and they can all get good, honest advice. You know, they're not going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what you need to hear.
Marcus, what was your background in the church? Was it something where you grew up going to church, or did your faith really develop and take a big leap as you came to Philadelphia and joined the Eagles last year and especially this season?
It's been up and down, honestly. When I was younger, my family and I always went to church every Sunday. I did a little bit of Sunday school. My grandparents have always been strong in their faith, and it's always been around me. But as I got older and I got to high school, closer to the time that I was getting ready for college, you know, we moved from where we originally were. We hadn't really found a church, and it wasn't something that we were going to church consistently. And then once I got to college, I'm on my own. I wasn't going like I should have. And it wasn't like I didn't have outlets. You know, we had FCA at the time at the University of Texas, different churches that people were going to. And, you know, I just never really took advantage of it for whatever reason. And it was amazing. I spent 4 years at Texas, you know, just on an up and down path. You know, my life was all over the place. And you know, obviously I had people in my corner the whole time, but it just took a step on my own faith. And I think the best thing that I could have ever heard from anyone was when I got to Philly, and we kind of all talked about, you know, once you know the truth and you've started to grow in your faith, there is no excuse. You know, you can't make any excuse for the mistakes that you make. And that's kind of what it had got. That's the point that I had gotten to. It was something where I knew what was necessary. I knew the changes that I needed to make in my life. And it wasn't like God wasn't showing me what I needed to do. It was just me accepting it and being able to take that next step. I guess those 4 years I hadn't completely bought into all of it, and I hadn't pushed myself in faith like I should have. I've always been a believer, but I just wasn't as strong as I am now. And like I said, that took people who were in my corner who helped make that possible, and that's why it's such a blessing today to be able to say that I'm growing every day. I'm still a work in progress, but it's a beautiful thing to see that growth, and I've seen it firsthand so much this year.
Amen.
Yeah, buddy, man, it's so good to be there. I was so honored to be a part of that with you. And I truly mean that. I mean, obviously, because of the opportunities that we've had over the last little bit, we've gotten to know each other. And I am so proud of the man that you are. Tell me, just help us understand, you know, you made this decision to be baptized. What does it mean to you, Marcus? Well, you know, it, obviously, like you said, you knew Jesus. You had made a commitment to Jesus, or you've been around church for a little bit. You've been active in church. Tell me, what does it mean for you that you came out of that water on Wednesday night a different person?
You know, I truly believe that, you know, one, being baptized is something where you're obviously you're born again, and not only born again, but you're recommitted. And it's one of those things where I've had family members who've been baptized young, and sometimes they do it again. But I feel like being baptized is that landmark in your life where you're saying, you know, I know the truth. I'm completely bought in. And at this point forward, I want to, you know, show our God and show Jesus how committed that I am in my life towards it. And I think that's what the biggest thing that my mindset was set toward when I decided to get baptized was that, you know, Lord, I'm fully committed in you. I want to show you that, and I want to take the first step in being baptized, and not only being baptized, but to continue to move forward and just diving into the Word, learning more, being more committed in the Bible, being more committed in the community, being more committed, like I said, in His name. And that's what it really meant to me, just showing Him that I'm fully committed. And like I said, I know the truth now. There is no excuse for mistakes, and I want to you know, show the world. And I'm glad that, like I said, the baptism, you know, went viral and a lot of people were able to see it. And I always pray for things like that, using my platform and influence for the better and our positivity, pointing every bit of success in His name. And it's amazing to see Him use me in that way. And I just want to continue to do that. I want to continue to uplift those around me and not be selfish with this. This is something you can't be selfish with. And once you really know the truth and once you really are committed, it's something that, you know, we talk about eternity, and it's something that you want the world to know about, and you want those around you to be saved as well.
Yeah, but you know, it is as you've been mentioning tonight, it's gone viral. It's an amazing story. It's been on so many various news agencies, and you know, we talked a little bit early in the show about, with all the other stories that are going on in the NFL, that you and the team as a whole are starting to rewrite some of the narrative just about players in the NFL. You know, Marcus, what would you want people to know about you, about the team, off the field? What message would you want them to know if you could rewrite that narrative, which you already are?
My biggest thing would just be, you know, we're good, humble guys. I feel like when people talk about the NFL, especially in times as today, you think of egos. You think of people who, you know, that I guess I would say not down so much down to earth, they just, you know, over other people, or they don't really take the time to just reach out to others. You know, like I always say, when you talk about using your platform, you know, it's so many guys who have this huge platform. And I think it's not a matter of always being selfish, but just not knowing how to use it, or for whatever reason, not, you know, using that platform the way that they should. And I just want the world to know that as an NFL and as a whole, you know, we're getting better in that aspect. And like I said, it takes people around you. So before you hold one person accountable for something that you feel like they can do better, you know, be that person, or know whoever you may know, be that person to be that support system for them and allow them to have a different mindset, and to allow those guys to, you know, be encouraged. Like I said, if it wasn't for the guys in this locker room and family and friends really uplifting me and pushing me forward, there's no telling where I'm at right now. If I'm moving stagnant, if I'm growing in my faith, if I'm working in the community, different things like that. And I feel like that's the biggest thing. And I know in each and every locker room around this league and in all sports, you know, there is a group of guys who can do that in any locker room, not just the Philadelphia Eagles. So I encourage a lot of those guys to take that stand, to hold others accountable, you know, just grab a group of men and lead them, because at the end of the day, that's what we are. We're leaders of men and women, whether we know it or not. And the things that we do, you know, they can be mimicked, they can be sometimes blown up, and they can be taken out of proportion for the good or the bad. You know, and just like you've seen in the power of this post going viral, you know, anybody can post being baptized, and it's just another picture or another video. Yeah. But it shows how powerful our platform is and our influence is. And I feel like I just want to continue to encourage guys to maximize that, and yeah, whatever it may be, and just follow your heart.
We are talking to Eagles wide receiver Marcus Johnson here on Faith on the Field show. Just a couple more questions for you, Marcus. You were undrafted coming out of Texas, and you didn't make the Eagles roster last year. You were signed to a practice squad, then you were cut 9 days later, and then you didn't have a job for about 3 months until the Eagles brought you back in December. So there was a lot of uncertainty in your career. How did your faith help you during that stretch?
Man, it was just me never doubting what God had for me. And before I got cut and, you know, everything kind of happened the way it did, you know, I heard something powerful with somebody saying, you know, what God has for you, no man can take. And you just have to trust the process. You have to be committed to it, and you have to know it wholeheartedly. And that's truly something that I can say throughout my whole career. Even at Texas, when I went through ups and downs, I had tough times. I always believed in myself, and I never questioned God's plan for me. I just stayed the course. And it's so much power in that, because when you really follow what you love and you really know in your heart of hearts that this is what you want to do and this is what you're committed to, you're going to put the work in and make it happen. And when I got cut, I didn't look at it as anything but a business decision from the Philadelphia Eagles. Right. And I didn't take it personal. I just took it as motivation. And I went home. I worked out. I stayed ready. And they brought me back. And for the rest is history. I'm on the roster right now. At this point, I'm contributing. I'm continuing to grow each week. And it's truly a blessing. But like I said, it's so much power in staying the course. It's so much power in being committed and understanding that God's timing truly is perfect. You just have to trust, believe it, and you have to continue to move in such a way that no man can deny you. And for me, that was just working so hard that when my time came back around, in whatever way, shape, or form that that may have been, I was going to be ready for it. And you can apply that work ethic and you can apply that mindset to anything in your life, not just football.
Now, Marcus, you talk about it coming full circle. It's been said that you were playing football and wanted to play wide receiver because of Larry Fitzgerald. So how special was it for you to make your first catch in a game against the Cardinals, against Larry Fitzgerald? And did you get to talk to him at all and kind of tell him about that he was the reason why you wanted to be a wide receiver?
Oh, it was cool, man. I didn't get to tell him all that. I think that's another time we can sit down and do that, whenever that may be. But, you know, he's a busy guy, and even after the game, there's so many people who look up to him, and there's so many people who came and shake hands with him. But, you know, it was a special moment for me because I walked up to him. I told him, man, nothing but respect. Just, you know, dapped him up, gave him a handshake, and, you know, went on about my way and, you know, let him, you know, do what he had to do. But, yeah, man, I've grown up. I played mainly running back and quarterback growing up. And obviously, you know, Larry's been in this league for such a long time. And even when he was at Pitt, you know, me watching him at Pitt, it really inspired me to be kind of model my game around him. He's so consistent. He's a humble man. He's a humble guy, a great athlete, great player. And he's been a consistent factor for the Cardinals his entire career. And, you know, that's something really special, and it speaks volumes when you talk about a league that's constantly revolving and changing. To have that constant factor at a position like receiver, when, you know, that's a rare thing. So, like I said, nothing but respect for that guy, and it was a special moment for me.
Marcus, before we let you go, we're spoiled here on this show in the fact that we get Pastor Kyle to come on here and share his wisdom and knowledge with us every week, and we love our conversations with him before the show, after the show, on the air, off the air. He doesn't like to brag about himself. He's really humble, doesn't say anything. I want to give you an opportunity to tell everybody how much Pastor Kyle has helped you and how much wisdom he brings to everybody around there.
Man, when I talk about teammates and people who've helped grow my faith to the point of where it is now, you know, he's a key integral part into that. From the day I met him at Connect Church, he's been an open arm. He's always had, you know, he's one of those guys, I'm here for you 24/7. Whenever you need something, let me know. He's truly been a blessing in my life. And, you know, like you said, he's somebody who you can model your life around in any way, shape, or form, man. He's a down-to-earth guy, humble guy, but he's so wise, so strong in his faith. And just being around him, being in his presence, you know, it makes you, you know, not without him saying anything, it holds you accountable. You could watch, you know, I went to Connect Church for the first time, mm-hmm. heard him speak, and it was so powerful to me that it was almost like something without him having a full conversation with me one-on-one. I just knew from hearing him speak and talk, it made me hold myself accountable to my faith. And, you know, Connect has been a major blessing. Everyone at Connect has been a major blessing in my life. Like I said, I hadn't been consistently going to a church in years. And for me to go there one time and know immediately, I just had that feeling like this is the place. Before my life truly changed and before I really took that step in my faith, the first time I went to Connect Church, I knew that this was going to be where it all took place. And
he's the real deal. He's the real deal.
You're killing me, brother.
Look at him blush, right?
Look at him blush. Look, he's turning red.
Hey. Look, though, the truth is,
and he got swag when he up there.
Look at him in here, man.
He's sweating. Right. He's uncomfortable.
You're awesome.
He dresses like he's 22, man.
Someone has to.
He's got style. He's bringing it.
Try not to be so old, bro.
The pastor up there swagged out.
Hey, bro, the truth is, Marcus, the honor is truly mine, and I know you know that because you know your willingness and the guy's willingness to open up your lives to us, to the church, and be real, and be real when you're there, and be real carrying that with us even when you're not. You know, you guys have made this so easy to be a pastor, to be a part of the family with you. So, man, I love you. Thank you so much for being willing to give us some time here on Faith on the Field. And, man, I'm just believing with you. I know I that Wednesday night, there's something so powerful about that moment in your life. And I know the best is yet to come for you, buddy.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Always love.
Take care, Marcus, man. We appreciate it. And catch you in the locker room in a couple days. Thank you.
Sounds good, man. Thank you.
Later, buddy.
That was Eagles wide receiver Marcus Johnson. Great to make Pastor Kyle blush a little bit.
He was blushing.
I know, a little blush. Yeah, because we never come on here. It's been like 6 or 7 weeks. We don't even say that Pastor Kyle's from Connect Church in Cherry Hill. And I'm glad Marcus Johnson dropped it a few times.
He's got a couple other campuses, too. You want to
Philly,
mention those?
Randolph, Cherry Hill. He's all over the place. You got to catch him. Like, hey, Pastor Kyle, where are you going to be preaching at this Sunday?
No, don't ask me that question.
Facebook Live there, though. Come. You can check it out.
Yeah, so. You can catch the podcast on the Connect Church, CherryHill.com. Where is it? Come on, he doesn't even want to tell us.
TheConnectChurch.com, yeah.
TheConnectChurch.com. All right, when we come back, there was so much in that interview. When we come back, we'll break it down a little bit. You are listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
Fall's around the corner, and what a fantastic time with football after church on Sundays and the incredible spectrum of leaves showing off a vibrant display of colors. It's also a perfect time of year to be aware of what your trees are telling you. Did you know that trees can talk to you? Example, if a tree is showing poor growth, it is making you aware that it has impacted soils or it could be suffering from improper planting techniques. Tree Awareness in Swedesboro, New Jersey has a 5-point health and wellness check that can accurately diagnose exactly what your tree is telling you. In this case, it would remedy the situation with root mulching, root invigoration, root pruning, or perhaps even root crown excavation. There's only one way to know for sure what your tree is making you aware of. Call the Tree Awareness Experts at 888-429-TREE. That's 888-429-8733 and check them out at treeawareness.com for the life of your trees.
Hey guys, it's Rob Motti. I want to tell you about a can't-miss event that's coming up in a few months. I did it last fall. It's called Goliathon, and it's a Ninja Warrior-type obstacle run that's tiered for all skill levels, which means you can run the event as a family or as a group of friends, even if you're at different fitness levels. The course is about 4 miles long with 12 tiered obstacles that are unique, challenging, and a load of fun. And the best part is all proceeds fund clean water projects in developing countries. The next event is in Malka Hill, New Jersey on June 3rd. Entry price increases are coming soon, so sign up today. Go to goliathon.com for details. And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, and we are in week 27. If you missed any of our previous episodes, as we said earlier, you can listen to us live on iTunes. You can listen to us on iHeartRadio, TuneIn. You can go to iTunes, subscribe to Faith on the Field, download, listen at your convenience. I've said before, you can listen in the car, you can listen on the toilet. I don't care where you listen.
I listen to the airplane coming back and forth from Tampa.
That's a nice job out of you. Nice job.
I got some Levi Lusco in there, who was one of our guests before.
Levi Lusco is one of our cross-training segment guys. We've had Clayton Kershaw, Carson Wentz, Mike Schmidt, Adam Wainwright, Coach Dabo Sweeney, the guy who's probably going to be NFL Rookie of the Year, Deshaun Watson was here, and so many more guys. You can also follow us online at faithonthefieldshow.com and follow our Facebook page, our Instagram and
Twitter.
Everywhere. You know, and earlier in the show, we said that just being a Christian doesn't mean you're going to have success on the field. But the fact that Deshaun Watson was on this show is no doubt the reason why he's having success this
coming
year,
on
right?
Faith on the Field is a whole other ballgame. We never said that.
Yeah,
I mean, we're just saying.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Guys, I talked a little bit earlier about my baptism last year, my adult baptism, and how where I grew up, I was baptized as a baby, and that was the culture, and that was the philosophy, that was the faith, and that was how we were raised. You guys, Doug, tell us about your baptism, and then Pastor Cox can tell us about the 13 times he took it there.
Twice.
I got saved when I was real young, just doing a family devotional. I was like 4 years old, with my dad doing devotion, and you know, said, "Hey, I want to be saved."
Wait a minute, at four?
Power. Yeah, wow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Come on,
so
man!
Story of the fiery furnace, and I said, "I want to walk with Jesus," right? You know, so that was just a decision I made. And then I went to a Baptist church growing up in Cherry Hill, and it was one of those Sundays where the pastor gave an invitation, and I said, "You know what? He's talking about baptism. I think I need to get baptized." So it was 1985. So I was nine. It was October 1985. So I just remember saying, "Hey, I got to stand up." And this is the first time I ever done anything like this, but I went down, talked to the pastor and said, "I'd like to get baptized." And so he's like, "All right, well, you know, we'll talk to you." So they kind of take you off to the side a little bit. And they kind of say, "This is what you want to do. Do you believe in God?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And then they say, "Well, you have to take a little class now," right, to educate you, just to make sure that you understand absolutely everything about it. Went through the class and then had to stand in front of church in the had a white robe on and get a baptism and read a little testimony. And then
Was it a pool? Was it inside? Was it sprinkling? It was a full immersion.
Full immersion. So as our title is for today, took a dip.
Take a dip.
Yep.
Yeah. Beautiful thing.
1985, I was a junior in high school. Thank you for making me feel bad.
Well, you know, it's funny. I just go back real quick when we were talking about Larry Fitzgerald. So when I was an athletic trainer, my first job at Valley Forge Military Academy, Larry Fitzgerald was a postgraduate at Valley Forge. So he was just like in high school, and now I felt old when we're talking about Marcus.
My Larry Fitzgerald story is I was at the Super Bowl a couple years ago when he was in it versus the Steelers, and my offensive coordinator from Tennessee was his coach at Pitt, and we ran into each other down there, and this is the kind of professional he is. The day of the Super Bowl, he had talked to his coach, his college coach, about, "Hey, can you watch me? Can you watch the way that I run my routes? Am I running them right? Can you make sure that I'm looking the ball in?" On the day of the Super Bowl, that's the kind of professional that he is. He just keeps working at it day in and day out.
He was like that in high school, though.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk too much about Larry Fitzgerald because
we want to hear Pastor
Kyle's
story.
The other thing is, I did actually get to talk to Larry when they played the Eagles the other day, and Larry did say he would love to come on the show after the season. So
amazing,
just,
man.
You know, we'll see if we work that out. But
yeah, I mean, I think my first, I grew up in a Baptist church as well when I was younger, and I got baptized with my family at 12. And I think, you know, people ask me, you know, did you know Jesus growing up? I did. I know if I would have died, I would have went to heaven. But if you're asking me during my teen years and early college years if I was living for him, no, the answer was definitely not. I was living under rules and laws. Can't, shouldn't, don't. But I wasn't really in a relationship with Jesus. After I made that decision in college, I had an opportunity right after that. I went to the Holy Land. I went to Israel, and I got baptized in the Jordan River, where on the site where they celebrate Jesus being baptized, whether he was baptized there or not. We know it was the same river. It's all that really matters. And subsequently from then, to be honest, I've had the honor and the privilege of baptizing people in the Jordan River as well. So for me, it was a marked difference. This is me as an adult, like Rob saying, man, I'm all in. I'm not messing around. I know what it means. I can't have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. And it wasn't a decision about being a pastor. It was a decision about being a disciple. And, you know, the Bible talks about, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. We actually talked about that night with Marcus. You know, seek first the kingdom of God. There before this game, they were seeking first the kingdom of God. And I think that's the invitation that God has for us, is an invitation to say, how can we, every day of our lives, seek him first above everything else? Doesn't mean you have to be a missionary to Africa. Doesn't mean you have to be a full-time pastor. It just means that you're living out your life in a full way, in an intimate relationship with the King and for his kingdom.
You mentioned seek him for Matthew 6:31. In Romans 6:34. Paul says, we were buried with Christ in baptism, and we are raised to walk in a new life as forgiven followers of Christ, empowered by the Spirit of God. So I hope that today we convey to people the importance of baptism as an adult as an adult, even as in Doug's case, when you understand why the meaning behind it,
why
you're
doing it. Let's challenge our listeners, though. I think that's an important thing, right? Hey, get on the field. I think baptism's part of getting on the field.
Whatever
your occupation is, whatever you're doing, like, take that next step. It's not too late to do that. You can do it
at
any time.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
absolutely.
You know, if you ever have a question, too, if you ever have a need, you can always message us on Facebook, too. I'm just going to throw that out there. We never even discussed this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, we could hook you up with Pastor Kyle. We have other pastors, Scott, Phil from Fellowship Bible Church, Pastor Ted, Pastor Rob Pitney. There's a lot of pastors that have come and done our Faith in the Field show, cross-training segments and stuff. So if you guys ever have a need, you know, message us on Facebook. That's probably the easiest way to do it. And we would love to hook you up with somebody.
You can also find us on Twitter, at Rob Maddy, M-A-A-D-D-I, at Horton House 5.
Yeah.
I get that right. And at
on Twitter. Yep.
Oh, Kyle J. Horner.
At Kyle J. Horner.
Yeah, but reach Instagram out. You know, we would love to help you. I mean, that's not something that we plan. We just kind of throw it out there. But if you guys have a need, you know,
absolutely,
hey, reach out.
And,
sure.
Go look, find a Bible-believing church, local church. It's what you heard from Marcus. It's what you hear from the guys. We need a group of people that we can do life with. You know, for us,
that's a great
church
way to put it.
Church is not about a Sunday morning event. It's about learning how to live life well together. And that's so the invitation for every pastor would be, come and learn how to live life with us together.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we are out of time again. For a thank you to Marcus Johnson for coming on. Thank you to Eastern University, our program sponsor. I want to thank Tree Awareness, Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley, Dan Higgins Wood Flooring, Dr. Sylvie and MedCore, Asthma and Pulmonary Specialist, Catalyst Outdoor, Pastor Scott Foreman, who's done a fantastic job updating. We got a logo change, and we're going to see it coming up soon in the next week or so. We got to thank our wives, Remy, Chris, and Danielle. Ryan Lennox for a great job back there. Next week, we will be on Tuesday night for Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. I am Rob Maddy reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.